Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on the Let's Face the Issues broadcast. As we face the issues each day, we look forward to having your dialogue and discussion, your input. Some use the term, I want to get my 2 cents worth in. Well, we're going to allow you to do more than 2 cents worth today. We're looking forward to your calls, our dialogue and discussion on the issues. We'll be talking about a number of subjects, a number of issues today. We'll talk about Trump vindicated, President Donald J. Trump vindicated. We'll talk about Senate Bill 7014 that's now in the governor's office waiting for his signature, which will destroy the freedoms that we have in the state of Florida to say to the doctors, the hospitals, and the medical care facilities what kind of medicine we want and what we do not want, and how the COVID CDC protocol is killing citizens and how we need to veto that bill. We'll talk about that in depth today. We'll also talk about the Bible on trial. A Finnish legislator and priest are both on trial simply for quoting the scripture, tweeting the scripture, and saying what the scripture says about the sodomite lifestyle versus what the government says needs to be done. We'll talk about the Canadian freedom fight. What's happening? Is it good? Is it bad? Should we pray with them, pray for them? Should we stand with them? How about Trudeau, Prime Minister Trudeau? Has he made the right decision on locking everything down, freezing bank accounts, stealing the freedom from the people? Will that overflow into America, and will it affect us? Those things we'll talk about today. So we're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you up front, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Your telephone call goes directly through to our studios and right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face issues, it's not based on political, ideological bent. As we face the issues, it's not based on some denominational dogma. As we face the issues each and every day, ladies and gentlemen, it's based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. How should we respond based on the word of God? Should we roll over and play dead, as the old cliche goes? Or as Christians and conservatives, as patriots, should we take a stand? Should we stand for truth? Should we be the watchman on the wall, warning of danger to come? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, I go back to the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. In John 8:31-32, as Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he says to them, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then a further declaratory statement in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that ought to illumine our pathways and direct our footsteps each and every day. I challenge you each day to stand for truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that being promulgated, pushed, and redefined and refined across America today. If you watch any of the news media, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're finding all on the Communist Network News that which is absolute can be categorized no other way than pathological liars telling the lies for the Biden administration. Big tech and the media today are right arms of the dissipated federal government system that's destroying our rights, our freedoms, and our families if we allow it to continue. But ladies and gentlemen, I always like to default to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made this statement. Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I challenge us today to stand for truth and defend the truth. This broadcast is designed around that absolute ideal of standing for the truth and defending the truth. It was the famous saying that I have quoted so often, Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? Based on what we see, based on what we know, based on what is happening, based on what is taking place out of Washington and around the globe, how should we then live? How should we live as Christians? How should we respond? I believe would be a good way to categorize that. And we need to stand for truth. It's as simple as that. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner landscape and lawn care equipment. But there's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time, now hiring in every position. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. It's a great place to work, ladies and gentlemen. It's a family-friendly oriented environment. They're closed on Sundays. Tools for Time doesn't open its doors on Sunday so that its employees can enjoy worship with their families in the churches where they need to be on Sundays. Ladies and gentlemen, just drop by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It is there's a gigantic flag there, ladies and gentlemen. The flagpole stands about 165 feet in there. Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag, and at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Drop by there, make your application, wait for an interview, and see what God has in store for you employed at Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, there's so many things taking place simultaneously on a global basis. It's difficult to make a determination what is the best thing and the best approach for us to take in life and in living. If we did not have the Word of God as our guide, I don't know where we would turn. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how a person without faith, a person without Christ, I don't know how to get up of a morning having any hope or any fresh ambition or aspiration to do anything in honor for the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, do you recall, let me just give us a little Bible story to begin with. It sets the pace for where we're going, especially in the first segment of this broadcast. But do you recall the little book of Esther, ladies and gentlemen, the story of Mordecai and Haman? That's the two main characters other than Esther. Esther is the main character. Her uncle is Mordecai. Haman is the one that the king had elevated to the head of all of the princes and all of the those leaders in his kingdom. But it's about Mordecai and Haman in the biblical book of Esther, ladies and gentlemen. You'll recall it was Haman that the king had pronounced to be the one that's going to be over above all the other princes and provinces. In fact, in the third chapter of Esther, just a couple of verses will set the stage. The scripture says, after these things, the king Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did he reverence him. And it goes on to talk about then what the king does in relationship to that, and how Mordecai and Haman are in what you call the log of horns after that and for the whole duration of the study of the book of Esther. But ladies and gentlemen, when Haman would pass by, listen to this carefully. This sets the stage for our segment talking about Hillary Clinton and what is taking place there. When Haman passed by, the people would bow down to him. They would simply kneel as he would go by on his carriage, kneel on the side of the streets, bowing down at every intersection, if you will. But Mordecai, Esther's uncle, would not do so, would not bow to Haman. And the Bible says the king loved Esther and made her his queen. And Haman, the Bible says, sought to destroy Mordecai and all the Jewish people in the kingdom. Esther chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 points that out. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the backstory is that Esther was a Jewish woman, but Esther was chosen by the king to be his queen. Her uncle Mordecai asked her to go in before the king and present herself and intercede on behalf of the Jews, because the king, under the leadership and directions of Haman, had signed a decree that all the Jews on a certain day would be slain. And as a result of that, Mordecai asked Esther to go in before the king. And usually in that setting, that culture, you would not go in before a king unless you had been invited. So she goes in uninvited, and she takes the position that perhaps God has placed her there for a time like this. And if I live, I live. If I die, I die, was basically the philosophy and the position that she took. But she went in before the king, according to the scripture. Esther goes in before the king. She intercedes on behalf of her people, the Jewish people. But during the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, Haman had built a gallows to have Mordecai hanged upon. You find that in Esther chapter 7, verse 1 and following. But God intervened, and the king had Haman hanged on the gallows that Haman had built for Mordecai. You find that in Esther chapter 7, verse 8, 9, and 10 in particular. In verse 10, the scripture says, so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Be careful, ladies and gentlemen. You can study in Psalms and in Proverbs and find if you dig a ditch for someone else to fall into, you may fall into it yourself. Today, ladies and gentlemen, Hillary Rodham Clinton is facing charges that she concocted to develop a net to destroy Donald J. Trump. Perhaps you're aware of it. Perhaps you've heard it. You've not heard it on any of the news, CNBC, MSNBC, ABC, the Communist Network News. None of them, all of them combined, have given zero zip, no minutes, no seconds to covering the story, perhaps, of this century. The story of this century, as I would call it. And that is, it's being brought to light under the John Durham review. His investigation, it's been going on now for about 3 or 4 years. He's been investigating the source of the Russiagate story. That is where Hillary Clinton, standing on the platform, in fact, in the debates with Clinton and Trump before President Trump was elected, where she called him a Russian asset, that he was a tool for Vladimir Putin. But ladies and gentlemen, that gallows that she had built with her constituents, including the CIA, including the FBI, including one of the most prestigious law firms in America, which happened to represent her campaign and the DNC, that very gallows that she built for President Donald J. Trump, she's now about to be placed upon and hanged on that very gallows. Here's an article. Special Counsel John Durham, still in action, investigating origins of the Trump-Russia probe, according to AG, that's Attorney General Garland. The origins of the Russian conspiracy story are becoming clearer, this article says. Former Attorney General Bill Barr appointed then U.S. Attorney from Connecticut, John Durham, in 2019 to investigate the origins of the FBI's original Russia probe or Crossfire Hurricane, which began in July of 2016, through the appointment of Special Counsel Robert Mueller in the May 2017. Shortly after Mueller completed his year-long investigation into whether the campaign colluded are coordinated here, whether the campaign, talking about Hillary's campaign, whether it colluded or coordinated with Russians to influence the 2016 presidential election. Mueller's investigation yielded no evidence of criminal conspiracy or coordination between the Trump campaign and Russian officials during the 2016 election, though the question of whether Trump obstructed justice was left open in the final report. In August 2020, Durham charged former FBI lawyer Clint Smith, with making a false statement, the first criminal case arising from the probe. Clint Smith was referred to the potential prosecution by Justice Department's Inspector General's Office, which conducted its own review of the Russian investigation. And ladies and gentlemen, this article goes on to say, Special Counsel Durham has charged just one individual, Clinton campaign lawyer Michael Sussman, with knowingly making a false statement to the FBI. Ladies and gentlemen, this goes deeper and deeper and deeper each day. I probably have 50, 60, 70 articles on the subject. Time won't allow us to go into it if we took an entire week to cover that. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Hillary Clinton has had the attitude and the idea that she's untouchable. She is Teflon, if you will. You can go back and study the life and legacy of Hillary and Bill Clinton. There was at one time an 8-track video out, talked about the Clinton Chronicles. And it's not been but about 100 people during the legacy of the Clintons and their push for power and push for authority and for many, many years wanting to be president of the United States of America. In the Clinton Chronicles, it points out how approximately 100 people have suspiciously taken their own lives, jumped out of buildings, put their head on a railroad track, 45 slug in their head, supposedly all as a result of being gravely depressed and taking their own lives. All of them had a connection of some type with Hillary and Bill Clinton and their shenanigans in Arkansas and then when they got to Washington and what they were doing. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Hillary Clinton responds to John Durham's court filings dated February the 17th. Former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton on Wednesday denied claims that her 2016 campaign spied on former President Donald J. Trump following a court filing submitted last week by special prosecutor John Durham. In a Twitter post, the longtime Democrat wrote that the Trump, listen to the accusation that Clinton is making now, that Trump and Fox, that's Fox News, are desperately spinning up a fake scandal to distract from the real ones. So it's a day that ends in Y, she added. The more his misdeeds are exposed, the more they lie, Hillary Clinton said, end quote. The filing was made in connection with Durham's case against Michael Sussman, a lawyer who worked on behalf of the Clinton campaign and Democratic National Committee in 2016. Durham's team alleged that Sussman lied to the FBI when he told the Bureau that he wasn't working for any client when he provided false documents that claimed to have linked the Trump organization to the Russian bank, to a Russian bank. Sussman, the filing said, assembled and conveyed the allegations of the FBI on behalf of at least two specific clients, including technology expert, tech executive, one, and U.S.-based an Internet Company One, that's the way they're named in the indictment, and the Clinton campaign. According to the filing, Sussman has pleaded not guilty, and his lawyers on Monday said the filing including prejudicial and false allegations against their client, end quote. The tech executive identified in the reports as Rodney Jaffe, he was tasked with the researchers to mine Internet data. By the way, I understand the researchers were coming out of the Georgia Tech University or college team of special students in Internet hacking and in technology. He said Internet data to establish an inference and narrative tying then candidate Donald Trump to Russia. The filing said, adding that Jaffe, that is Rodney Jaffe, Jaffe's employer had come to access and maintain dedicated servers for Trump's executive offices. Ladies and gentlemen, Jaffe was working as a result of the Biden and Obama administration. He was a carryover, and somehow he had access to to the internet servers in the executive offices, and he had gotten access to them because he had access to other high-level technology in the D.C. Beltway. And ladies and gentlemen, he was used to hack into President Trump's computers, his technology, personally, and for his campaign. And even after his election, they were able to get into his systems in the White House. Here's an article. Hillary Clinton declined to comment on Durham allegations. Deputy Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked three times at a press briefing for Fox News correspondent to answer questions regarding the allegations. This was just a couple of days ago, ladies and gentlemen. But each time the White House spokesperson referred her to the Department of Justice. Does the president have any concerns? This is a question. Does the president have any concerns, talking about not President Joe Biden, any concerns about the candidate for president using computer experts to infiltrate computer systems of competing candidates or even getting into the president-elect's computer for the goal of creating a false narrative? End quote. Quote, that's something I can't speak from the podium about. So I refer you to the Department of Justice, the spokesperson for the president answered. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden does not want to touch it with a 100-foot pole. He knows that it started while he was still vice president under Barack Hussein Obama. It was the Obama administration with Joe Biden linked with Hillary Clinton that behind the scenes they were using every federal apparatus possible to investigate and to set Donald J. Trump up as a puppet, a tool for Putin, and to be able to somehow, some way undermine his candidacy and destroy the potential of his being elected. Well, he shocked them all. He was elected, and even after he was elected, ladies and gentlemen, they utilized that same approach to get into the White House computers. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I don't care whether it's Democrat or Republican. It doesn't make any difference about the side of the aisle that they're on. What took place was treasonous and should be treated as treason. Had this taken place 100 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, Hillary Clinton be caught, tried, convicted, and hanged for committing treason. That's how serious this whole shenanigans, all of these shenanigans happen to be. But it's being swept under the rug. Even, ladies and gentlemen, New York Times, not even doing anything to report on it, not doing anything to say anything about what is taking place on this issue. Here's an article that says, Hillary spy scandal, too hard for our readers to understand. This is a sham excuse, ladies and gentlemen, nothing more and nothing less. A New York Times reporter explained why the paper joined nearly every other major media outlet in ignoring the blockbuster special counsel charge that Hillary Clinton's campaign spied. That's not an assumption. The charge has been made. The discovery has been made. The investigation has taken place. It has been determined in the investigatory work of years now by the John Durham team that Hillary Clinton, did spy through her alter ego representatives on President Trump before he was elected and after he was elected. This article says, charge that Hillary Clinton's campaign spied on internet traffic on the Trump Towers, at the Trump Towers, at Donald Trump's New York apartment, and the White House in an effort to frame Trump as a Russia stooge, end quote. Now, that's the summary of the charges. But, ladies and gentlemen, now, New York Times says it can't report that. Why can't it report it? Because the readers of New York Times, this is a slam against their own readers, they say the readers of the New York Times are too dumb, too stupid to be able to unravel and understand the story. Here's what they say. 2 days after the story broke, Savage said Durham's claims tend to involve dense, this is the reporter now for New York Times, the claims seem to involve dense and obscure issues. So dissecting them requires asking readers to expend significant mental energy and time, raising the question of whether or not the news outlet should even cover such claims, end quote. He went on to lament, Trump's allies portray the news media as engaging in cover-up, and if they don't cover it. Here's another statement. Savage, that's the news reporter, published Monday, and is titled, court filing started a furor in the right-wing outlets, but their narrative is off track, end quote. Further says Fox News found that the TV networks ABC, NBC, CBS, and MSNBC gave zip zero no airtime to the story, while CNN gave it only 2 minutes and 30 seconds of airtime. Ladies and gentlemen, they're trying to sequester it. They're trying to prevent it from coming to the forefront for the knowledge of the citizens of the United States of America, even saying, as the New York Times, that people that read the New York Times are too dumb, too dense, too stupid, too ignorant to be able to understand the simple facts. Hillary Clinton, through the FBI and the CIA, and the thugs with badges, as I call them, infiltrated the internet system, the computer systems of Donald Trump as his part at Trump Towers, and then when he was in the White House, even infiltrated the White House computers to eavesdrop on Donald J. Trump, trying to find reasons to try to prosecute him. As you know, it was on that basis that the first attempt to impeach President Donald J. Trump took place. Even today, as Fox goes back and plays a collage, as I would call it, of the spokespersons, the heads of the network news and Communist Network News, and their statements, they still say that Trump was involved with Russia, Trump was a stooge of Russia, that Trump had connections with Russia, and that he had invited Russia to investigate and to try to prevent Hillary Clinton from being elected. Hillary Clinton's DNC claim that even the DNC computers were infiltrated by Russia is an absolute false statement. It was not. It was an inside job that infiltrated their systems. And as a result of that, a man was shot in the back of the head on the streets in D.C. And they never know what took place. They have closed the file without further investigation as to why he was killed. He still had his Rolex watch on, still had his wallet in his pocket, still had his ID and his funds in his pocket when they found his body on the sidewalk. The gold chain around his neck was still there. So what was the reason? I believe it's because he had the thumb drive of all the information off the DNC computers and was about to make it well and wide known. Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with a situation very much like you find in the little book of Esther, where Haman built the gallows. He was going to have Mordecai hung on the gallows, and it reversed itself because of God's intervention. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe at the very time, present time, God is intervening to bring about the full recognition, knowledge, and the revelation of what took place 2016, 17, 18, 19, and up through Donald Trump's leaving office, and still he's being persecuted and prosecuted because they're fearful, petrified, frightened that he will be a candidate in 2024 for the President of the United States once again. And ladies and gentlemen, I happen to believe personally that if he runs in 2024, he will win with a landslide unless they continue to use the Dominion software, Dominion hardware that absolutely allows someone to come into the system and interject into the system hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of votes, as it did for Joe Biden. Joe Biden didn't win the election. Joe Biden is a fraud. Joe Biden was a Manchurian candidate. He's a Manchurian president today. He is a figurehead. He is a empty-minded individual that's being manipulated and moved. And behind the scenes, the Barack Obama and all of his team are having their third term in the White House. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, he's going to deliver. He's unraveling the biggest scandal in U.S. history, according to Kasia Patel. Drops the bomb, he says. Durham grand jury interviewed 24 people so far. We'll pick up on this right at the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We've got several other subjects to cover on this broadcast today. Looking forward to having you right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.